Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike. It's 12:16, and we are now joined with Roddick from the IMC Club. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, what is the IMC Club?
You know, it's not really easy to explain like this. That's why you should come over and join one of our open chapter meetings. I'm talking about what IMC Club is all about for about 25 minutes. But in very short, about 4 years ago, we started this organization, and we're focusing on practical knowledge. So basically, we believe that you can learn from each other. Everybody has a different experience in instrument flying, people with thousands of hours and people with hundreds of hours. And we get together and we discuss things that happen to us in flying and therefore how we can learn from each other. But, you know, we put this in some, you know, practical scheme there. So basically we took it on a global basis and we produced those short audiovisual scenarios that are available for chapter leaders. And we're a chapter-based organization, pretty much.
Okay, so do you have chapters all over the country then, all over the world?
All over the world, absolutely. 4 years ago, we started with one chapter in Norwood and four guys sitting at a local restaurant. Now we are over 110 chapters worldwide, including Europe, South America, Africa. And I believe we just crossed 2,400 members.
That's wonderful. And Roddick, just from a demographic standpoint, what are we talking about? All types of pilots with all types of experience, different age groups, different aircraft that they're flying? Is this?
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. Of course, you know, instrument-rated pilots.
Yes.
Instrument students. They found out that, you know, it benefits them greatly. And anything from, like I said, instrument student to airline captains. We have people from, you know, all sorts of flying areas, if you will.
And then what are some of your challenges when you're trying to reach such a broad audience in packaging the material for something for everybody?
You know, there is really not in a challenging area, if you will. I don't think it's that much because it's something when people get together, we basically want to eliminate people sitting in front of their computers and saying, I like picture of this airplane on the Facebook. We want them to be back at the local airport. We want them to meet face to face and talk to each other because I think that is what is slowly eroding from aviation, this human contact. I mean, years ago when I was learning to fly, you would go by your local airport and you could always drop in to local FBO. There were people hanging around talking about flying. So if you were going to fly instruments, you'll simply go there and a few guys would be sitting and you'll say, okay, what do you think? I'm going to Syracuse. There are thunderstorms building here. And what do you think I should be doing? And then you kind of, you know, learn from each other. So we took that concept and we simply, like I said, we took on a global basis. So now you do have to go to our website. You have to submit this scenario. We have special form for our members. They will say, okay, it happened on this day. You know, those were the weather conditions and so on. And we're going to take it. We're going to dress it up slightly. And we're going to make it available for our chapter leaders. So during the meeting, they play that scenario. And the important part is that we don't give any answers. We don't say A, B, C, D, and only C is correct answer, because it could be 100 different ways out of one situation, and they all could be correct. I mean, it's sure. And it could be one that is going to kill you. So,
sure. So it's more of a group discussion about all of the members on what you could do in that scenario.
We like to call it organized hangar flying.
Excellent. And so that actually leads to having a good, to have more different backgrounds. So you get different perspectives from different people and you can learn from each other.
Absolutely. That is the key. So, you know, one of the meetings, I believe it was in Martha's Vineyard, one of the members, he is an airline captain. And we started our scenario, and you know, he came right away, said, no brainer, that is what I'm going to do here. And then discussion started, and people were voicing their own opinions from different levels of experience. And you know what, at the end of the meeting, that airline captain said, you know what, you got me thinking. I don't think my first reaction was correct. So anybody can learn from you know, those discussions. It's just the way it is.
Sure. I'm curious if you have an opinion about this. Lately in some of the popular press, there's discussion about an over-reliance on automation or an over-reliance on computers among some segments of pilots. What do you think?
Yes, I actually have a very strong opinion about this. On one hand, I'm a gadget guy. I love gadgets. I love glass cockpit. I love all kinds of applications on the iPad. But on the other hand, it's all in proficiency. So if you have a book that has 1,000 pages and you need only 10 pages out of that book to fly safely, but you have to find them among those 1,000, you better know that book in and out to know where to go to find those 10 pages. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's much easier if you have only 10 and you're just flipping through those 10 pages. So it's all could be used correctly. I mean, automation is good if we know how to use it and we use it correctly. But if we start relying on it, then, you know, of course, when it stops working, because we all know, you look at your iPad and you have your approach plate and suddenly you say, oh, where did it go? And you start pushing buttons there, and you're trying to get back to that plate. But if you're past final approach fix, that could be a problem.
I think you and I must share the same opinion. For me, I love automation, but I like to know the basics behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we have all kinds of projects within the club. So it's not all about just those chapter meetings. Mm-hmm. This is a core of the organization. You know, one of the projects that we did together with MyGoFlight, is we call it EFB Challenge. So it's a kind of a Jeopardy-style competition that we have participants competing with their iPads. They have questions. You know, they can use whatever they want, ForeFlight, Garmin, and, you know, other software there. But question comes up, and let's see who can come up first with correct answer. And we hope that, you know, those initiatives are going to motivate people to basically practice those tools and therefore be proficient. Because again, I think proficiency is everything. It's not just knowledge. It's not just, you know, basic stuff. It's doing it. That's what it is.
And would you say that the skill set that is eroding the most is more fundamental in terms of heading, airspeed, altitude, and scan? Or would you say it's knowledge of more complicated procedures?
I would say both.
Yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's again, statistics are actually scary in some aspects, because I found out at some point that over 70% of instrument-rated pilots never use their instrument rating.
Wow.
Because they don't know what to do with this. I was in the same boat. You know, you get your instrument rating, you flew with your flight instructor throughout the whole course, and now you're authorized to go in any kind of, IMC. And in some cases, people never had any actual experience during their training. In some cases, their flight instructors never had any actual experience.
Sure.
Now, are you finding a breakdown in the fundamentals? Like, for example, glass cockpits versus, you know, your old round dials. You know, are you finding that students do better if they start in one versus the other?
Yes.
Yes.
And actually, when I teach my students instruments, I strongly believe that you should start with legacy gauges and then upgrade yourself to glass cockpit.
So learning the fundamentals and then building upon all of that.
It's almost like teaching somebody how to ride a bicycle and having this automated balance machine on a bike that is going to do it for you. But you never get the feel of the bike yourself. And therefore, at some point, that machine is going to fail and you're going to fall.
I've done quite a lot of instruction myself, and I find that one of the problems with, I think, the current way we're doing it is it's too localized. The same approach at the same airport, and it's important. And it's important to get out and broaden that.
Absolutely, as I always say, it's I always say you're not going to get your license to fly instrument out of, let's say, Norwood, Massachusetts. You're going to get your license to fly instruments.
Period. Anywhere.
Yeah, and that is, unfortunately, that is the way, you know, some flight instructors will teach, because that's the way they were taught, and they were just...
Sure.
So what does IMC Club, do you have any things for people who are instrument students to help get their licenses?
I mean, yes. I mean, first of all, they come to those meetings and they learn practical stuff. So they have exposure to somebody who has instrument flying experience, and they can talk about practical aspects of it. Because let's face it, textbook, absolutely, it's necessary. But then practical life is different. It's not what you see there. And the only way to learn up to this point was you go out there and you learn yourself. So you go there, and in most cases, you're lucky enough to get enough experience to go through the course. But there are unfortunately some cases that people are not lucky enough, and they, you know, ends up badly. But you have no other choice, because training itself gives you basis, but it does not prepare you for actual conditions.
So if somebody was interested in joining a chapter, where would they go to find local chapter information?
Okay, they will go to imcclubs.org.
Is it club or clubs?
Clubs, plural.
Okay. Important distinction.
Yes. And just click on chapter map, and then you will see, you know, all those chapters there. You can open your own if there is nothing nearby. We'll help you to open your own chapter. I will actually come over to, I travel to every single chapter opening. So I run the first meeting to show people how it's done. And, you know, and if there is chapter nearby, then join our organization and get involved.
And when you go to the website, is there learning tools on the website also?
Yes, absolutely. As a member, you have access to all kinds of resources. We have a media library, we have knowledge base, 24/7 access to a flight instructor, all kinds of projects. And it's important to add that those are done by our members. So it's something that we're not coming up with this stuff. We want our organization to be by our members. So those are ideas by people out there. So if you go there and you see something that you don't see something and you say, okay, I get a great idea. I think we should have this resource available for instrument rated pilots, then you let us know, and our job is to make it available for you.
Wow. Very good, Radek.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. We have been talking to Radek from the IMC Club, and we do appreciate you joining us. You're listening to EAA Radio.